Welcome to our Sunday Night Blessing Live. Glad you stopped by. Trust that what we say and do and our prayers together and some of the scriptural teachings that we dig into will be a blessing to you today. Stay tuned as we join the live broadcast, and then you're welcome to make a comment, send us a note, and just enjoy the time together. God bless. See you soon. Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday Night Live broadcast. We are always excited on this weekend time that we get to have a interaction, perhaps. Be sure and send me a comment or a note. Let me know where you're watching from. Really ties us in. We're starting to get some international attention a little bit, so I'm excited about that. And I'm hearing back from some of you about your prayers that you're speaking for us and praying for us. Thank you for that. Amen. This has been a powerful week so far. And well, last week, this is the beginning of the new one. But last week, there was some wonderful things happening. Now, I'm not a news broadcaster, but I do like to bring news and I do like to bring good reports. There's the body of Christ has been shaken or at least poked in a lot of areas in this last year. And we're seeing an awakening. We're watching an awakening happen across the nation, not only in the church, but in the schools, in the families that have children in school, in local politics, in many of the states, there's an uprise against what is happening in our nation. So let's not panic. I want to take some time today to talk about the cancel culture, and I'm going to talk about the Word of God and what God is doing in the body of Christ. Amen. The result of what we've just been through really did affect this nation in a grip of fear. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians picked it up and picked up the fear. Now, I realize we need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Okay, there's times that we need to take precautions and so forth. But the very fact that we had a clamp come on us, orders came, can't do this, can't do that. And the fear of being around people, the fear of touching people, the fear of walking around without a covering over our face. And now we find out it didn't even matter. According to the expert and the emails that have come out these last few days, it wasn't even working. What was it? Something to control our mouth, something, our voice, and then something to control our gathering together. Well, I want to talk about some of the miracles of history. What's that phrase? It's pretty common. If we don't know our history, we're condemned or bound to repeat it, and how true that is. If we don't understand the cycle of things that happen when a nation forgets God, when it turns its back or it becomes lethargic, and a church, when I say a church, I'm talking about the body of Christ, when they begin to be lethargic, they begin to settle. And in these last decades, especially when all the technology began to come in, it began to do things for us and begin to, we just sit and watch and punch a button and all the things happen right in front of us. It gives us a sense of, we don't have to work. Just push the button and it'll happen. So the fight and the resistance and the energy it takes to say no, there's great power in our human spirit that God put in there. I remember Nancy Reagan, the wife of Ronald Reagan, president. came up with that slogan concerning drugs. Just say no. Well, sounds ridiculous in the outset, but if you can train your children to learn what it means to say no to temptation, and then you and I as people, you know, humans, adults rather, we're human, as adults learn to say no to temptation and no to distractions. I think we ought to change the name, the word temptation, to distractions. That's all it is. I realize temptation draws us in and captures our attention and our flesh gets involved, but really, it's just a distraction on your journey to your destiny. And it takes us off course. When we get off course, we get lost in the shuffle. So I want to go over a couple of verses today and talk about the light of God. Now, we're talking about cancel culture, cancel, back and forth. What's that mean? Well, the people that have been blinded, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the people of this world, for the God of this world has blinded the unbeliever's mind that they should not discern the truth. And we say, how can they say this, think this, and try this or do it? It doesn't make sense. It's not even common sense. True, because their eyes are blinded. So we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Some of your neighbors or friends or relation can't see it. Let's pray. Let's believe that God's going to open the eyes of the blind. What I want to do today, talking about cancel culture, I want to emphasize the culture that God has come to cancel, the culture that God came into with Jesus Christ. And he planted the seed of life right in the center of human history, where the Roman Empire had taken authority and control, and all the nations of the earth had percolated to their evil desires. And the light of lights came and penetrated like an arrow into the heart of a culture and changed the culture. Now, to me, that's what I call real cancel culture. That's what I call the foundational truth behind changing a culture from one thing to another. Now, the world and the liberals and the progressives and the socialistic mindset, they want to take away our Christian heritage. They want to take away our Christian freedoms. They want to take away the Constitution. They want to change the freedom of America. They have something in their mind because they have been blinded. But let's remember history. Let's think about some of the history that you may have learned in school if you're old enough. If you're not old enough, you didn't learn some of these things perhaps, but history has been shaped by the invasion of Jesus Christ into culture. Now, take a snapshot of England when William Booth, the man who started the Salvation Army, got stirred up. When William Booth began to, and his wife, I forget, it might have been Mary, but William Booth, when they began to preach and sing and beat the drum on the corners of the city, God sent a revival. God sent an awakening to England. Now, when that was happening, five-year-olds were working in the factories, children labor, and they built steps up to the bar so they could have their beer and their drinks. Little 5-6-year-olds. It was the Thames River was so filthy and dirty that raw sewage was on both sides of the bank for yards and yards and yards. So that's just a snapshot of a culture that had gone corrupt and had gone into sin. But God sent in. Now, this is during the time of the awakenings God sent in the seed of life, the light of God, into that culture and changed that culture. Now, let's take a little review here, and I want to flip over to John 14. And I want to read it out of the Mirror Bible. If you haven't peeked into the Mirror Bible, it's a reflection of the mirror. We look into the face of Jesus and see our face. He's a reflection of us. We're a reflection of him. And in John 14, 20, listen to it. He says, in that day you will know that just as I am in my Father, you are in me and I am in you. 21. Whoever resonates and treasures the completeness of my prophetic purpose cannot but fall in love with me. Oh, live broadcast. I can't cut my mistakes out. Okay. Now, this face-to-face relationship then is so powerful that we have the light of God has come into us. Now, take for a moment. Pretend my finger is on the whiteboard and I'm drawing a circle, big circle. That's the Father. Take the next circle inside that one and draw another one. That's Jesus. Take another circle now, smaller yet, inside of the second one, and that's you and me. And then take a smaller circle inside that last circle, that's the Holy Spirit. That's how intertwined we are. Now, why am I saying this concerning culture? Because we are the salt and light. And I am here to tell you today, here to remind you, it's not news to you. Many of you that are tuned in, you're already cranked up with this revelation and the faith to do what it takes to change this culture and to put your light, your salt and light back into your neighborhood, your county, your church, your state, so forth. Because we do change the culture. Let's not be afraid of the news broadcast. Let's not be afraid of the professors that have been trying and have been perverting our culture in the universities. Let's not be afraid of the new attempt to send all this devilish teaching into our schools concerning race and division. Let's not be afraid of that. Let's amplify and magnify the salt and light that we are and magnify the light of Jesus Christ that has come into the world to change the world. Now, Matthew 4 is a powerful picture of this. Those that sat in darkness and death saw a great light. It was Jesus penetrating the atmosphere and coming into this world. And what happened when they saw a great light? They were delivered out of darkness into light. I love this scripture about being translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That's real culture change. That's canceling one culture by the blood and the resurrection and the name and the believing in Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says, he that believeth shall be saved. I love that word. Saved means zozo in the Greek. And it means saved, delivered, healed, made whole. Now, take a hold of this in your spirit and break the power of the spirit of fear that's been just shoved on us for the last, well, especially the last 18 months. Pushed in on us, jammed into our mentality. Every news broadcast is, we're going down the tubes. We're not going to make it. We're going to die. The spirit of fear. That scripture that says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Okay. There was a little clip I sent out on Facebook the other day. I don't have it in front of me. for the last 20 years. They listed all of every year there was a major fear message. This is going to be the end. We're all going to die. And it was several diseases, started off with Y2K in 2000. Can you remember the fear that came? Can you remember the predictions of the end of the world? Come on now, shake your mind a little bit. They packed out, they sold out all the hotels in Jerusalem and the surrounding because they were expecting the Eastern Gate to bust open and Jesus was going to come through the door. Okay, good. End of the world. Computers were going to quit. Airplanes were going to fall out of the air and et cetera, et cetera. All right, we got past that one. Next year, we had this some kind of SARS, and then there was Amtrak, and then there was E. coli, and then there was a Third World War with the Koreans, and then there, and on and on and on, until we get to 2020, bingo, one more powerful fear message. Well, was it true? Did we have trouble? Yes. Yes, we did. Now, not to diminish, please, not to diminish anyone's death and suffering. That is not my point. But I do want you to understand that we've had difficulty before and we've made it through it. We've come through. Just a few years ago in Obama's presidency, we had 150, 200,000 people die of the flu. Nobody even said a thing. Why? Because it wasn't politically useful. The spirit of fear can be magnified by, just like the spirit of faith is magnified by preaching, confession, the spirit of fear is magnified by preaching and confession. You say it and you say it, and I believe it, I receive it, and when I receive it, fear and damnation comes toward me, because what you honor, what you worship, what you yield to will be attracted to you. Okay. Canceling one culture to the other. Let's start simple. Jesus came into my heart and I was canceled from my old life to my new life. Wow. That is the beginning. That's 101. That's the first thing. I said, Jesus, come into my heart. There's many ways to do it. We had a prayer that we prayed, kind of passed down in our Pentecostal history. Jesus, come into my heart. And the old man, according to Paul, died. The old man died, and the new man was awakened and lived. That's a change in culture. Talk about a shift in culture. One guy dies, the other guy lives. That's a big deal. Then, as I begin to go forward, developing my giftings, and I started preaching and traveling, I slipped into that era of time in my life where Mark 16:15 become a reality to me. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, he that believes shall be saved. He that doesn't believe shall be condemned. Now, let's not run off the end of the dock on that. Just because someone walks out of your church service and doesn't come to the altar, God's not sending them directly to hell like they fall into a manhole out in the street. But they are still under that world system until they turn. Let's not forget that the seed of the gospel goes into the spirit of people. And I'm so convinced the seed of the gospel has such barbs on it. You ever try to pull a fish hook out of the mouth of a fish? Man, those barbs, they just hang in there. You can't get them out. How about those suckers on your sock when you're walking through the summer fields? You come home and there's those little petals off the weeds that have stuck to your socks. You know, that's how they invented Velcro. Some guy come in from the field, he says, hey, that looks like I should invent that. So we have Velcro. The gospel has that hook to it. Let's not forget that. So he that believeth shall be saved. Then he said, you shall lay hands on the sick. And now here's canceling sickness. You know, sickness is a culture in some people's lives. From one generation to the other, they're sick. They have a sickness in their mentality. Their confession is sickness. They believe in medical help because that's all they ever live in. Now, I believe in medical. Don't get me wrong there. I've been to the doctor, but I don't trust in it. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. And the doctor is second in line. First of all is faith and prayer and standing against it. It's my confession and saying no to the devil and receiving health every day in my spirit, taking communion regularly. Why? Because that's my first priority. I have a culture of faith. But he said, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And he said, you shall cast out devils. Now, devil casting is not reserved for the foreign nations. We used to think that when I was a young chap, our church said, well, all the devils are in Africa. Whoa, were we wrong? Because devils do move around and they're not national. They just cross borders. So what about that? A devil, a demon, and a wickedness and an evil situation that the enemy's behind is a culture. It's the world's culture. But the gospel cancels that in people's lives. I have seen and experienced, and I have been involved with wonderful miracles in deliverance. Some powerful, powerful changes. I've watched people change like a light bulb was turned on. Had a man come into our church one time, one example that's in my mind. He looked terrifying. He looked downright mean, but he received Jesus. And deliverance is not always a manifestation of some kind of, you know, response where it scares you. Many times deliverance is simply receiving Jesus, and that sucker is broken and gone. You never have manifestations. You never have a classic deliverance session, you know, where you go on and on and into the night. So often at the altar or at the confession of that, people are delivered from their culture of bondage. I remember a woman came to our church that had been isolated because of fear in her home. People brought her groceries to her. She wouldn't go outside. The shades were pulled. Now, that's a bondage. That's a demonic bondage. Was she devil-possessed? That's not the question. Question is bondage. Don't try to be a statistician or an engineer, a spiritual engineer, finding out where the boogeyman is. If the bondage is there, break it. Amen. So, her son began to come to the gathering for the young children. And finally she came. And I watched her set free from the culture of fear and the culture of bondage and the culture of death until she turned into a raving maniac for Jesus. she really did. So, she's got a prophetic gift today that is amazing. Okay. Now, why are we doing this? Because I want to ignite a fire in your spirit concerning this demonic lie that is being poured out of our news broadcasters and our politicians, trying to crush the seed of the purpose of God in not only this earth, but this nation, your life, your family, and so forth. We're not just talking history. We're not talking nationally only, but the foundation of this nation was prophesied that we would be a light to the nations. We're not going to quit on that. God's bringing us back. God has given us a handful of powerful voices, prophetic voices. You know more of them than I do, because we all have our worlds that we listen to. I'm listening to four or five that have the resound of heaven, and they are prophesying a turn. They're speaking deliverance. And the prophet speaks and the people gather around that prophetic word and they agree with it. They put their faith in it. That's what it means. If we'll believe the prophet, we'll prosper. When the prophet speaks, we don't stand back and say, well, we're going to see if that's a real prophet. No, we believe what Mary did. She pondered it and she held it in her heart. She ruminated on it. She stood in that and believed it. And it came to pass. So what kind of culture do you need to change? What kind of, now, you know, habits could be culture. Well, you know, my mother did that. My dad did that. I guess I'm just the same. No, that's a family curse or a family culture or a family bondage. The family that's sick all the time, that's a family bondage. The family that's poor all the time, that's a family bond. It's a generational curse. A family that fights, and there's some people that they don't think they're having a good dinner until they're arguing. That's not God. That's a culture. That's a culture that that's a curse on a family. So, well, we get to make up, and it's so fun to make up. That's not even good logic. Amen. Go out and smash your head, you know, your hand in the door and say, oh, it feels so good. Now that I'm not mashing my hand, I guess I'll do it again because it feels better when, oh, no, that's silly. I'm encouraging you today to let the light of God shine forth from you. Now, the scripture tells us that light has come in John 1:1-8. The light came, and that light illuminated the world and the people, and that light is in us. So, scripture says, let your light so shine. How do you let light shine? You just open the window, open the shades, light gets out. Darkness, there's really no such thing as darkness in that pure sense. Darkness is just an absence of light. Have you ever had a house with a dark switch on it? Where you go in there and you turn on the dark? No. That's a silly illustration, isn't it? Why? Because we have a light switch. Why? Because light is more powerful than dark. And I have never heard the dark resist. I've turned on lights, you know, 10,000 times, I'm sure. And I've never heard some, you know, the dark say, not this time, bucko, I ain't going. No, the darkness always leaves. So you've got a witness, you've got a testimony, you've got a confession, you've got a prayer, you've got a song, you've got a faith that is the light of the gospel. And you are in a generation when this world we're in needs your light. Let it shine. Let it shine. We had a little children's song when I was in Sunday school. I don't know if I should embarrass myself and try to sing it, but we'd hold our little finger up and we'd sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Don't let Satan get out. I'm going to let it. And we'd go on. We had 4 or 5 verses. I remember that as an illustrative teaching, that I had a light, a testimony, and a life that exposed the light of heaven. Amen. Okay. Now, I want to pray today before we skip out of here. And I want to encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to give you a release of faith. And a plan, a diagram of what to do next in your light-bearing days and on earth here, your journey on earth. Lord, what's my exposure now? What should I do next? What's the next thing you have for me to display Jesus? Hallelujah. Some of you listening are destined for public ministry. And you're just in the beginning stages, something that you're praying about or wanting to. You're kind of a wannabe right now, but God's got the seed of faith in you. What do you do with that? You water it. You feed that seed till it grows into a tree. Some of you, senior later on in life, you're not going to travel the world perhaps, but your spirit has no limits. You can travel the world in a flash and be anywhere you want to be in the spirit and minister in the spirit of God. The kingdom of God is a wonderful journey. It's a wonderful travel agent, I'll tell you that. You can jump nation to nation in the spirit when you step into that wonderful world of faith and that place called the presence of the Lord. When you do, God will give you vision and pictures. He'll give you direction and how to pray. And then there's the world of dreams. I love dreams. Many prophets that I know entered into their prophetic life through dreams. One reason I believe that happens is because when God puts us to sleep, we don't resist him so much. He can slip into our subconscious and speak to our inner man without us resisting it. But dreams are important. And if you're having some ongoing message or an ongoing flashes of things, and I want you to write them down, make notes about them. Don't just dismiss them, because dreams are important. The dreams in the Old and New Testament are amazing. They changed history. They shifted whole directions and opened up whole horizons for things when someone had a dream. Amen. So, Father, I release this simple word on culture shifting and culture change and coming into that kingdom culture where we walk in the Spirit. As he is in us, we walk before the presence of the Father face to face, just like Jesus saw the Father face to face. Lord, we deal with that same relationship with the Father because we have been redeemed. There is no guilt in us. There is no regret in us. There is no remorse in us. We have been cleansed from the old man and we are new in Christ. Condemnation has been broken. All those things that would hinder our relationship have been set aside and buried and taken out by the blood and the resurrection and the name. So I just release this, Lord, to these that are with me today. I thank you for the power of faith that we believe what we hear and what the Word of God says. Because of that, I expect to see the manifestation of it in the days to come. Changes in our nation, in our churches, in our families, in our outlet, you know, the release of this thing in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, wow. That's something, presence of the Lord. I can feel it here on my end. I know you can feel it wherever you are today. Presence of the Lord is addictive. Once you taste it, once you experience it, you want to go back again and again. Hallelujah. God bless you today. Thank you for coming, being a part of our live broadcast on Sunday night. Tell somebody about this. Share it with someone. Now, these broadcasts are repeated, and they tell me that there will be many, many more people watch this over the next weeks than are watching it live. But I just saw something about the live broadcast I'm enjoying. And thank you for being a part of that in Jesus' name. It's good to know that God is alive in our day. It's good to know that God is alive in our day. Isn't that something? Now, that sounds like a simple phrase, but there's people in your neighborhood that don't know God is alive. They don't understand that there's a living God that can change their life and break the power of sin in their life. Amen. All right. If you haven't subscribed, that'd be a help to us. Gives us a little power boost. And your notes to me and your comments, they tell me make an impact when you like us or you know, all those things you do to increase this internet life we're in. Thank you for that. Those are so important to do those things. Until we see you in the morning. Monday morning comes, and we will be on every morning through the week. So God bless you. And may the Lord keep you. May his face shine on you. May the love of God radiate from you. And may you prosper in all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for being with us today. It's such a pleasure and a blessing to us to know that we're able to speak into your life and give you something extra to chew on for a while. Be sure and contact us if you would like some prayer or teachings of any sort that we might be able to help you with. Don't forget, be sure and subscribe to our channel. And if God's nudging you to send us a financial gift, you can do that through our PayPal account. The notes are there that you can find in the notes below. God bless you, and we'll be seeing you at the next broadcast.